right, we're back. Who's talking? The second half hour of the show. Once again, we thank Bobby Goodman for being with us in studio tonight. This is Jim Hobgood, along with Frank Maloney. And we'll be joined momentarily by Joe Hall of the Virginia Athletics Foundation, also a former Cavalier gridiron star. Joe, are you with us now?
I am. I don't know who this gridiron star is, but Joe Hall is with you.
Joe Hall with Jim Hobgood and Frank Maloney. Frank?
Well, I've got a little bit of background that we probably need to preface.
Absolutely.
Joe entered UVA in 1986 and got his degree in 1990. He studied communications while at Virginia. During his playing career for Virginia, he was a stocky 280 pounds, playing a little nose guard and a little tackle on the 5-3 defense. Today, Joe, you probably wouldn't recognize Joe. He's down to about 210, 212, and he runs all the time. And sometimes I have a hard time recognizing him because I remember when he was bigger. But got to play with Ron Carey and Sean Moore and some other great Hoos during those glory years. And anyhow, we're glad to have Joe here with us tonight.
Yeah, Joe, have you written that diet book yet? Everybody else has.
Hey, I'm just waiting to win the lottery, and I will do it for free for everybody.
Well, good. We appreciate that. You know, it's always been a point of resentment for me that basketball players like me gain weight when their career is over, and football players oftentimes do lose weight. So congratulations. I'm sure you feel great.
I have every intention to getting back to 300. It's just,
a matter of time, huh?
Later on in life. But right now I'm feeling great, and I actually have Coach Welsh to thank for the weight loss because he made me start running.
Well, Joe, I'll jump in here. Just a quick question. Give us your assessment of the Hoos to date. Ooh. And what this weekend looks like and the rest of the season.
Wow. You know, going into the season, you know, I saw that we had question marks at linebacker, offensive line, wide receiver, quarterback, and special teams. And to be honest with you, I still have questions about all five of those positions or areas. So I would say that my assessment hasn't changed a whole lot. I was concerned, and I'm still concerned. But, you know, I traveled down to Southern Miss, and, you know, I saw improvement, but we're still not where we need to be a competitor for the ACC championship.
Right. And I'll let Frank jump in here in a minute. What, if you deal a lot with the fan base, donors, the what I call the committed Wahoos. What's your assessment of where the level of patience is from the fan base right now?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm concerned because we've gone from hostile to almost apathy. And I mean, that's the worst situation to be in, because if people are upset and passionate, you know, that means they care. If they're not screaming at you, that means they're losing interest, and that concerns me.
Well, Joe, you know, one of the things that I think Virginia faces, and you and I have talked about this recently and also with some of our other colleagues and from our years at UVA, the challenge of recruiting the type of young men that academically can enjoy the environment of being on the grounds and progressing naturally through their major. We were talking about some of those programs. And, you know, when I was at Virginia, I do recall a lot of the players were taking, you know, ed school courses and mass communications and some of those things. And where can Virginia now make a shift? Because I think there's a need now to create some kind of program or some kind of major, you know, that a good student, not necessarily a great student, can handle.
It's a loaded question, being in my shoes, because I've worked for the university. But I would say that, you know, when I was a student here in 1990, there were X number of majors. And I would say in 2009, 20 years later, they're still probably the same X number of majors, and they're probably still the same majors. And the world's changed a lot in the last 20 years. I mean, nobody in my dorm had a computer first year. Now every kid's got a laptop computer. So I think, you know, we could look at some more interesting curriculums to entice our kids to want to learn more. I think, you know, I never want to compromise the integrity of the university because, you know, first and foremost, the University of Virginia is one of the greatest academic institutions in America. But kids can come here, get a great education, win at football, and move on and be a success in life. I mean, you brought up Ron Carey earlier. I mean, I think he's, you know, he was the president of HR for the Richmond Times-Dispatch, and he's moved on to a more challenging role with them. My college roommate, Paul Collins, lives in Richmond. You know, he was a heck of a football player, started for 3 years, graduated in 4 years, and, you know, he's got a great job and he's raising a family in Richmond. So I think kids can do, you know, they can actually do all three. They can get a good education, they can play great football, and they can have a good time. But I think the university could be a little more, inventive with their curriculum, I guess. I'm rambling now, but, we have the number one comm school in the nation. If we could come up with a sports management major, I think maybe kids would be more interested and work harder to do well in those classes. But, you know, with budget cutbacks and everything else, it looks difficult.
Yeah, the thing I always remember from my days at Virginia, they always used to say the Virginia fans expected UVA to be Harvard Monday through Friday and Ohio State on Saturday, and sometimes it's hard to do that. From the VAF standpoint, I know the economy's down a little bit, the football program's struggling a little bit. How much of an impact has that had on the Virginia Athletics Foundation?
No, we're struggling, and I would say that, you know, I probably spoke to more people than anybody else within the administration, and, you know, the sense is, you know, it's three things, maybe four things. You know, number one, it's, you know, the economy. Number two, it's the team. Number three, it's people frustrated with the Virginia Athletics Foundation. And, you know, number four is something that we don't control. It's really, you know, my kids are at that age where they're playing soccer every weekend, or they're playing football, or they're playing softball. They're doing something, and it's just hard for me to come up to games. So people are making choices with their entertainment dollars, and, you know, we're lagging behind, and it's disconcerting because, I mean, I don't know if everybody knows this, but we pay for all the athletic scholarships at the university. You know, the university doesn't pay a cent for athletics. So if we don't raise the money for scholarships, that means, you know, Dom Starge is going to do with one less lacrosse scholarship, or Brian O'Connor is going to do with one less baseball scholarship. And, you know, it may not seem like a lot at the beginning, but if you lose a scholarship here or there, all of a sudden you lose that great competitive advantage that we've had.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but, you know, those kids that are coming on scholarship from out of state, that makes the tuition that much more, and VAF has to come up with those dollars.
That is true. We pay the exact cost. If a kid's from out of state, we pay the out-of-state fee. If he's in-state, we pay in-state fees. And that's, you know, of our mix, about 70 to 75% of our recruited athletes, scholarship athletes, are from out of state. So that's a big burden on us. I will say that Virginia Tech and UVA are probably the only schools in the conference that actually pay the full rate. You got a lot of private schools in BC, Duke, Miami, Wake Forest that can do whatever they want with their scholarship bill. And then, you know, Maryland, North Carolina, NC State, Clemson, Georgia Tech, and Florida State all pay the in-state rate, whether you're an in-state student or an out-of-state student. And, I mean, you're talking about $3 to $4 million in difference.
Now, is that a legislative thing? How do they pay the in-state versus out-of-state?
You know, in Maryland and Carolina, it's definitely, you know, it's a legislative thing. They set the tuition for those schools, and they make the rules that they can get away with that. Now, Carolina is now reviewing that. And, you know, I've talked to people on the Tar Heel Club, and they're, you know, that concerns them greatly because they have lots of out-of-state students as well, and they could look at almost doubling their scholarship bill.
Very good. Joe, you brought up the non-revenue sports and so forth and some of the Olympic sports. And tell me something, with all the diversity that UVA has embraced over the many decades. We now have, what, is it 24 or 25 NCAA sports?
We have 25.
25 now. Back when you were in school, was it in the teens, I believe?
gosh, you know, I was so myopic that I didn't really realize how many other sports there were. I'd never counted them, that was for sure.
He hardly knew there was a basketball team.
I know that was something to do during the week. But I don't know how many sports we've added, but obviously Title IX has been a big issue for all schools because not only do you have to add, there's no counterbalance for football. Like in baseball, there's softball. Or in men's soccer, there's women's soccer. When there's football, there's no counterbalance. So we've added, you know, women's crew. We added women's golf. I don't know what else we've added. Maybe field hockey. But we've also jumped the number of scholarships available. Like women's basketball has 17 scholarships, whereas men's basketball only has 13 scholarships. And those numbers aren't 100% correct. But, you know, there's always a little difference to make up for that 85 scholarships that football gets.
Now, are we fully funded now, Joe?
We are fully funded. And
explain to the listeners what that means in case they don't understand.
Okay. Fully funded means that we give the maximum number of scholarships in every sport that the NCAA allows. NCAA sets a maximum number for every sport. Like football, it's 85. You know, men's basketball, it's 13. We support the maximum number for all of our sports. When I came here 12 years ago, we only supported four of our programs fully. And so that meant when, you know, Dennis Womack and the baseball team went down to Carolina, you know, he had six guys on scholarship. Carolina had the full allotment of 10 guys on scholarship. So it was a very uneven playing field. And as we've increased the scholarships across the board, you know, in the last 6 years, we've won more ACC championships than any other school in the conference. So obviously, scholarships equal success, especially in those Olympic sports.
Allows you to compete on every level. I think one thing we would like to do right now is give you a chance maybe to reflect back on your playing career and maybe if there's a game or a moment that sticks out as being truly very exciting and one that you would put at the pinnacle, what game or moment might that be?
Wow. That's putting me on the spot. I would say, since I'm a product of George Welsh, man's had more influence on my life than any other person besides my father. So George liked to focus on the negative, so I focus on the negative. Georgia Tech game was probably obviously it wasn't the high point. It was probably the low point of my career, but I was captain of the number one football team in the country. And we lost a game that I thought if we played it 100 times, we'd win it 99. And I went from being the, you know, guy that possibly could have won the national championship and being the president of IBM to being a guy that walks around and asks people for money. So it was a drastic day. Other things that I remember from my playing career is that I loved to practice. I mean, my coach, Danny Wilmer, would always be like, "Boy, there's something wrong with you. You seem to like it out here," and I did. I liked being around the guys. I liked being around the coaches. I liked training. It was just something that I loved doing. But I remember one day we were practicing for the Citrus Bowl, and it was like December 3rd, and we had recruits in town on Friday night. And, you know, you're supposed to take the recruits out and show them a good time. So you know, we took the recruits out. We showed them a good time. But George forgot that we were recruiting kids on Friday night, and he scheduled, you know, a 7:30 practice on Saturday morning. And it was in December, and the weather was cold. And at that time, I'd been starting for a year or two, and I was the starting defensive tackle. But that wasn't a blessing. That was a curse that year because on the scout team was a young man named Mark Dixon who played guard, and he might be the best offensive line athlete ever at Virginia, and then Ray Roberts, who might have just been the best all-around lineman ever at Virginia. Jim Reed, who also played in the pros like Mark, and I'd line up against them every play. And one play I locked in with Mark, and I was, you know, fighting to stay alive, and a split second later, Jim Reed down blocked on me. He hit me right in my ear hole. And I remember dropping to my knees and thinking, I will never feel this bad again. And that was the hardest I've ever been hit. And I played against Jim Wesniewski, who's going to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I played against, you know, two guys in Tennessee that were drafted in the first five picks of the NFL draft in 1991. So that was, oof.
Well, Joe, I hate to tell you, I don't necessarily share your viewpoint about practice. your colleague Barry Parker will tell you how much Hobbo hated to practice. You know, my attitude was turn the lights on. That makes a difference. But anyway, we got to go to break. But we really do appreciate your joining us, and just wish you the very best. All your efforts on behalf of Virginia Athletics, as one who benefited from an athletic scholarship to go to college, I can speak firsthand about how important it is. So we thank you in that regard. I'm sure you're going to Chapel Hill. Good luck to the Hoos. Bring back a win.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Good luck, Joe. Thank you.
All right. Fans, we're going to go to break. We'll be back after the break with the sports update and some closing thoughts relative to the game down in Chapel Hill.